Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Lydia Nicholas.
Bryn Monroe.
Ben Meredith.
Who are you playing?
The distressed, broken, dirty Hammond.
The, I guess I'll have to sort it out again then, Sasha.
Zolf Legless Smith.
So, it's all a bit perilous. We're underground.
If we're a DVD, we would have the disclaimer, contains mild peril.
I'd say we've escalated to moderate. Moderate peril.
Damn.
Yeah.
And between me and Zolf, we have now five functional limbs.
You're rapidly approaching the point where between the two of you, you equal one medium-sized human. We are in the bowels of the catacombs beneath Paris in the search of answers for all of the links, for all of those names that we have been slowly discovering over time.
Yeah, I feel like we're really close to working out anything about what was going on.
Yeah.
However, it's
as clear as mud.
Oh!
Like tons of mud falling on our heads from a great height.
That is definitely how I feel about the situation.
But yeah, you're
both
all
literal and metaphorical.
It's funny how your priorities shift from how do we uncover this mystery to
how do I breathe?
How do I breathe? How do I uncover myself?
I'm breathe.
I've got air. Wicked. The rest will sort itself out.
Yeah.
So, answers, smarts.
Picking pyramid up
leads. Yeah, breathing right.
Yeah, I've really, really shifted that pyramid for you recently. We're now in the situation where Sasha is heading off on her own, investigating only a slightly, completely horrifying
sound. Oh my god, there are these
sound.
Horrible noises, aren't there? And there was a roar. Oh, what? It's so bad.
It's okay.
I'm really hoping it's just a drain and it just sounds awful. It's really bad.
Or it's,
that would actually be incredible.
Or Bertie's drunk and he's turned up to save us. Right, and you cast Hide from Undead.
Hide from Undead. So
you
invisible.
Are currently hidden from undead.
Yep.
Actually, all three of you are for half an hour.
There's no way it's going to be an undead, is it?
I mean, it might be. You never know.
I will start with Hamid and Zolf.
Oh,
just
good.
Just for a little bit of a character moment.
Hamid is shaking and still covered in dirt and has not changed his outfit, which is a pretty bad sign.
Hamid, why don't you clean yourself up?
Yeah, that is, I should do that. I normally, this hand,
Well, treat it as a learning experience. You get to cast spells with your offhand now.
But I use both.
Ah, well, there must be some
Maybe it'll still work.
Give it a go.
How did it go? Something a bit like this, maybe?
I succeed in casting Prestidigitation.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I've done my normal little ritual and summoned a hanky, and I'm just kind of staring at it.
In the pitch black.
Yep.
You're not going to.
I sort of dab ineffectually at my face.
Oh. Come on, Hamid. Look up. Could be worse.
Cut to Sasha.
Sneaking along. No, I don't hunt myself. So, I sneak along the corridor.
Okay, presumably you are trying to be stealthy, given the situation. Please give me a stealth roll.
Oh, gosh, a two.
These are the cursed dice from last session
plus
still, aren't
eight,
they?
Plus eight, though, so
10. 10? Okay, that's fine. So as you proceed, the smell gets steadily worse, to the point where, yes, there is the roar, but it's a physical presence. It's that foul, the smell. It is pushing you away from where you are aiming for, because it's just repulsion. You are this close, holding up, as he says, holding up with a visual.
A small amount close.
You are a small amount close to being sickened. The actual condition, if you remember from all of the rotting those, monkeys.
Yeah,
we remember that condition.
Yep.
Yeah. Basically that, just from this smell. It's vile. It's the worst you've had in a long time. You can still continue. You're not suffering the mechanical penalties, but it's bad.
Yep. I mean, you say I'm trying to be sneaky, but I am lighting my path with a loud wind-up.
Yeah, and the problem is that every minute...
Yep. So what I'll do is I go forwards... See, there's nothing that bad that far. And then walk five paces back, rewind the thing.
Sure.
And then...
It's very, very slow progress.
It's terribly unsneaky.
So you proceed in that manner. We'll say for about an hour. It's hard to judge time. You don't have a watch or anything like that. So it is just in your head. I mean, again, the whole other London thing means you're better at estimating than most. Yeah. But eventually, towards the end of that time, you notice that the working of the stone has become more and more primitive. So whilst it has been flagstones in poor condition, it's not unworked stone, but it's nearing that way. It like the workmanship is worse, and it's begun angling down slightly further. What used to be arches have become just squared off buttresses and things like that. And then you hear the clear sound of sloppy water ahead. It's hard to describe what it is. Yeah, it's too viscous a sound to be water, but it is the clear sound of that directly ahead. And your torch, it appears that you've finally reached an opening. Mm-hmm. Your torch basically goes across it, and it's just darkness, implying that there's a large space on the other side that the torch beam isn't powerful enough to really penetrate.
What's a huge cavern?
You are at the entrance to what you presume is a huge cavern with that sound ahead.
She skirts around the edge of the wall, back to the wall, but still trying to kind of throw the light
to see.
So
you enter the cavern.
Yeah, I enter the cavern and I go, I think, to, let's say, the right. Just hug the wall.
Okay. The thing that you find is there's about a 5-foot ledge, and then it's almost, at first glance, it looks like a chasm. It just, it has a 10-foot drop, and you think, oh, whoa, like, it's like a huge bottomless chasm. Then you realise that you're not actually looking at darkness. What you're looking at is almost black liquid. It is rancid. Shining the torch on it, it's occasionally rippling, but there's not really much to it. And then suddenly
it's like the ectoplasm from Ghostbusters 2, but recoloured.
Imagine that, but midnight black.
Like oil.
And then, just occasionally, you start seeing little bumps will poke up and then disappear down. At first it looks like they're alive, then you realise it's not. It's just detritus and things like that. Eventually, a bone pokes its way out of that sort of viscous liquid and drops down. Again, it is a rank, rank smell. You begin edging your way around and you see that it's actually appears to be a man-made cavern as opposed to an artificial one. There is some elements of reinforcement in the ceilings. But
it's just like home.
But what clearly used to have been the floor has just imploded in and taken most of the floor with it. Whether it was an intentional demolition or something, there's no way of knowing. But it is full to about 10 feet below your ledge of just this vile liquid. And as you're going around, you start to see there's a few more pipes that are filing things in. One of them you recognise is human sewage is pouring into that. Another one has...
Familiar substance another to the one, underground living?
Yeah, keeping going beneath that pipe, which is overhanging, so you're not actually getting covered in stuff, but it is, you know, pouring over
stinky.
Your head. Yeah. Keeping going, you then encounter, like, really sharp, vinegary smell coming from another one, where, like, a bright purple fluid is pouring in. And, yeah, you're making your way around. It's clear that there are a number of these pipes that are pouring in just vileness into a huge... for lack of a better word, cesspit, something like that. You don't know what it is. Give me a perception check.
5 plus 7, 12.
Echoing around the cavern. Again, you hear that call. It could be at any distance. It's certainly not close, because it's just not loud enough.
Okay, so I'm going to point the torch straight up to try and see and try and look at these pipes, hoping that maybe there's a sign that some of these pipes might lead up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I assume this is a very long thing.
It's actually quite circular. It's just massive.
Okay, so
and there's no way of telling how deep the liquid is, in the sense that because it's relatively flat, it's not flowing.
Yep.
Okay. Who knows how deep it is and where it's running to?
In which case, looking up with the torch, trying to work out if there's any way that look like they might
there are
be
some,
traversable.
There are some that actually look eventually traversable. Mm. So the ones that you passed first were quite small. Eventually, you pass one that's massive, easily like 20 foot across, where it's and it's almost oblong, in like the mouth is almost oblong in such a way that it's probably maybe a major Parisian sewer pouring in or something. Eventually you find one, they're just poking out of the wall randomly, and they're all rusted at the end, like it's not workmanship, it's someone put a pipe in there and went, that'll do, and then left it for hundreds of years. Finally you encounter one which is roughly about as tall as Hamid, so you could fit in if you were sort of crouched over, and there's no liquid coming out of it. There's a slime in it which is very, very slick. It's green. It smells like plant waste or something, and shining the light down it goes flat and then it starts to curve upwards slightly.
Still doesn't sound like something that Zolf could traverse. And Sasha's thinking to herself, maybe I could tie him to the trident and carry that. Maybe his little floating platform would sit on that.
Cut back to Hamid and Zolf.
I've asked Zolf to teach me a cheery song to keep my spirits up.
I hate you, Brent.
Maybe a sea shanty, a happy
sailing
one.
Sailing around the seven seas.
I love the idea. Tell me a cheery song. What should we do with a drunken sailor? Put him in the... Oh, no, wait, that's horrible.
Yeah, most sea shanties are about death.
Well, let's not sing
this is where the
then.
Charisma comes in, where it's like, comfort me. You could be dead. You're not.
Yeah, not much of a singer, really. How about you teach me one of your old university songs?
Oh, I don't remember any of those. I know some opera.
Right, and like,
that's mostly about death, too.
Okay, just very, very slow.
Yeah.
Play I Spy?
Cut back to Sasha.
So,
decision time.
I'm gonna.
She can't see anything.
I'm gonna head up the pipe a little way and shine the torch up.
Again, it looks like it'll be hard work, but manageable. It's gonna be slow. I mean, there's Zolf who's propping himself up on a trident currently.
He can float on his little disc.
It looks like it would be easier to just crawl up on all fours, but possible.
All right. I kind of make a decision and I'm going to head back to these guys.
Okay. Heading back, you start heading back across the route that you first took.
Edging around. So I need to stop. I'm really sorry. This isn't a recurring joke. This is just a problem in my brain. Okay, and... Oh, God, okay.
I'm going to add to your problems.
Heading around the opening. Every time!
There is a very, very wet stain. It appears that almost as if the liquid has been splashed all up against the wall and across the path that you walked on. So the liquid is still gently rolling and occasionally little ripples from where the liquids are pouring in. But it's very clear that there is a splatter of it across the walkway that you did, up the wall and disappearing up towards the ceiling.
I do not recharge the light, and I'm going to keep edging back around to... Because now I just have my back against the wall, and I am silent as...
Give me a stealth check.
16 plus 8, so 24.
24. Give me a perception check.
10.
You haven't rolled above like a 4 for perception in 3 episodes.
Sasha's stressed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe there's a bit of mud still in her ears.
You cross across that stain, you're making your way back. You hear behind you, really close, an inch from the back of your head, maybe that, like very alien sound, and it is as close to you as it could possibly be without touching you.
I stab backwards.
Technically counts as a surprise round.
Just blindly, just yeah. I've got my spring loaded.
Oh, you got your spring loaded, that solves that problem. Do yep. it. Give me an attack roll.
Okay, so that's 20 and then plus 2 flanking. Does this count as
no,
are they
no.
flat footed is the thing?
Yes.
They're not expecting.
So you'll get sneak attack damage.
Right, okay.
Okay. You successfully hit. Roll me damage.
So if she's fighting in complete darkness, there's this whole concealment chance, but since she's just doing it straight behind her anyway, maybe that doesn't apply
what?
Here?
Concealment starts to kind of stop applying when her reach
yeah, fair
and
enough.
The thing that she's fighting is so large that concealment doesn't really apply.
Yeah,
fair
enough.
Yeah, you're fine.
3, 4, 5.
There is a deafening roar from behind you. Really bizarre vocalizations that are utterly unnatural.
Mm.
It almost is damaging you, it's that loud.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to Zolf and Hamid.
Oh. I spy, with my little eye, something beginning with...
echoing across the tunnel.
Evil!
Sasha, that roar has just happened.
Yep.
What do you do?
I run. I leg it.
Yep. You leg it.
It sounds like you're just like, yes, I was the right thing. Right thing.
That's,
well
that's
done.
That's correct.
You've chosen.
So scared.
You've chosen.
Presumably, you
option.
Charge back. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm
that's
gonna.
Fine. So you begin that run.
Yep.
In your perception
darkness.
Check.
Yeah, well, in yeah, but like I'm
yeah,
used
no,
to
I
running
know.
In darkness.
She's stuck to the side. She's used
I know,
to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to allow it.
Five. Plus 7.
Okay. So you run, you find the entrance, you dart down it, you start running.
Okay.
Nothing happens.
That's cool. I'm going to keep legging it.
Ahead of you,
mm-hmm.
from two tunnels that you thought were just little alcoves, something shifts. You hear it. You can't see it. You haven't got your torch lit, but you
okay.
definitely hear it. And it's gone.
I'm running.
Give me another perception roll.
Oh, this one's finally a decent one. So 15 plus 7.
Okay, you hear nothing,
mm-hmm.
but you do start approaching where you left the others, because obviously
yep.
you were moving so slowly with that torch.
Yep.
Bombing it back now, you're all right.
So now I'm going to begin to walk quietly, because like,
mm-hmm.
now maybe I don't want whatever's pursuing me to know exactly where I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Zolf.
Hello.
Cutting to you. You see Sasha at the very edge of your dark vision, re-entering that vaulted room where there were multiple channels.
Behind her a horse.
She's moving really stealthily. Like, you can't hear anything. Hamid's not even aware she's there, but you obviously, with your dark vision, can see it. She's moving absolutely silently. Hovering over her are two tentacles. They are currently from outside the corridor, and they're just draping and playing around her head completely silently.
Oh dear.
Sasha, run, it's above you!
Leg it. I'll run, give you the light.
Okay.
And then, like take a 5-foot step in front of them. So, of all of the people to stand and take the damage, it's not really built for that, but I guess compared to these two.
Well, so you charge towards them, you throw Zolf the light.
Yeah.
And you
I
can
will catch
him.
The light and hand it to Hamid.
Sure.
He can't wind it, he's only got one arm.
Oh dear.
Why? I threw it to you.
Yeah.
So you try and go.
Oh,
no.
Okay,
I'll wind it. You spin round. In the time that it took for that to happen, you saw the tentacles retreat away.
So now there's
what
light.
What was it, Zolf? What's there?
I've done it. Shh.
It's gone.
Wait, so what was it? What was it? I just, it was behind me and I stabbed it and then I legged it.
There were some tentacles above you. Like,
what?
Yeah, just like brushing your head.
Like, I didn't hear anything behind me. Nothing sneaks up on me, Zolf. Nothing. Are you sure you didn't imagine it? Nothing sneaks
it's
up on me.
It's pitch black down here. It will be designed to hunt in complete darkness. The only sense is sound. That's why, right? So
it's hunting us. It's hunting us. It's hunting us in the dark. It's hunting us in the dark. It's fine. Maybe I can set it on fire.
There's another echoing cry. It could be from any distance. The same one.
Okay, I'm going to get the firebomb.
Did you find anything?
I went down for about an hour because I was trying to be sneaky. I found a big cesspit, all sorts of weird chemicals flowing out of, I guess, Paris down there. I went around.
As she speaks, you see a tentacle poke out from one of the side tunnels. Not the one that you saw last time, a different one. It has an eye on the end of it. It turns. It's glassy, so it's almost like it's got cataracts or something, but it can clearly see.
I'll shine the light in its eye.
Snatches its eye back. There's no scream of pain, nothing like that.
It's still there.
Right, so it's big enough to be out of two tunnels. Maybe there's several of them. All right. Okay, so the plan of running back in there and setting it on fire. It basically is a big cesspit. I found a tunnel that I thought we could climb up.
Okay.
But then as I came back, there was something behind me and I just stabbed at it wildly and legged it. I thought I'd got away, but obviously it's followed me. I'm sorry I brought it back here.
It's fine.
There's one more tunnel. No tentacles have come out of that. We could just dash down that.
I think.
I don't think Zolf can dash anywhere right now. Walk.
Can you make your hovery thing? Can you sit on that?
It won't move very fast.
I could pull it, push the disc. You make your little disc and I'll push it. It'll be like a stretcher.
You wouldn't move very fast, but faster than hobbling along.
Okay. All right.
At the very edge. The very, very edge of your dark vision. You can just maybe make out movement. I should point out, by the way, dark vision is normally black and white. There's no colour to it. That's the way it works. But the very, very edge, so it's in the darkness, you just see, you know, like a chicken's leg, that shape to it.
Yep.
Imagine that, but large. And by that, I mean mechanically appropriate for a large creature. That, with a tentacle wrapped around it, sort of moves just in and out of your vision. You see the eye poke in and then pull back, and it's just lingering at the exact edge of your vision.
I'm going to prep a bomb.
You cannot make out a form to it. Occasionally there's a tentacle. Occasionally there's a stinger. For a moment, you see what might be a mouth. Certainly teeth.
Right, you cast your disc. I'm going to blow this thing up, and then we're going to run down that third tunnel. I don't know what it leads to, but I don't know how it can be worse than tentacle or cesspit and tentacles.
Okay. Sure, I will cast that. It's supernatural, so I need to do anything.
The second that you begin casting something, it's gone from your vision again.
And I'll get on the disc. It's around, this will last about 3 minutes, and I'll need to do it again. Right. Totally, I've got about 20 minutes.
I am going to run to the tunnel that all the tentacles have come out of and throw a bomb down it blindly and then run back.
Roll it on the off chance of a fumble.
Yeah.
Or a crit.
Five.
You just lob it down. Yep. There's a certain bits of dust fall down. In fact, listening, you hear off in the distance somewhere the distinct sound of as a bunch more earth and stone falls. It's hard to tell the direction. Certainly not in your current situation.
Do you correctly light?
It's closer to a concussive grenade blast than anything with a flash to it. It's not a flashback.
While Zolf is casting floaty disc, I'm going to attempt to cast mage armour. And I roll that for 20, so I succeed.
You succeed, wicked.
That is particularly
You know what,
armor.
We've never seen this before. Describe it, because Zolf can see it at least. In fact, Sasha, there is a light. There's enough light now, you've got the torch going. How's it look? What's it sound like? Describe it to me. How's it smell?
So I surround myself, conjuring it from my one moving hand.
Mm-hmm.
I surround myself with a very faint, unearthly, dull yellow glow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the pattern of... Very faintly, you can see a pattern of scales within it, and essentially it creates a little bubble around me that just flickers very slightly. It doesn't provide any light, but it strengthens when I'm attacked, essentially.
When it happens, Zolf, you see, and only you see, as it's happening, there is definitely almost the appearance of scales moving across almost all of his skin. Nothing huge, it's not a big, elaborate thing. And obviously you've got no colouring, but it's almost like seeing his skin has dried out. And you know those patterns you can get on dried skin?
Mm-hmm.
Scaly, almost.
Magic.
Yeah.
Don't know how these,
Don't
wizards.
Don't know
because
about
still,
arcane.
Yeah, you still think that he's a wizard, right? So it's just like, how they...
We all think he's a wizard.
It's all nothing. Really strange.
So, are we ready to enter initiative order then?
Yeah. So, I'm going to sit on the thing. I'm going to have the trident kind of set in the crook of an arm.
You jousting?
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm going to be winding the other, using the other hand to wind it because I'll get it in between my thighs so that we've got a light constantly.
I love this. Who's pushing you?
Fan art.
I don't know.
Fan art.
Sasha, Sasha has a bigger movement speed than me, so I'm assuming this will slow her down to my speed.
I'm running, because I've thrown the bomb. Something has collapsed, hopefully enough, the tunnel. Coming back and pushing you down the third tunnel.
Okay, so can I get initiative rolls from everyone?
Ooh.
19.
21.
Ooh.
10.
Slightly worse because you're a worse
person. Yeah. Now, we're into the slight limitations of this system, which is you are all sort of acting simultaneously, and this whole weird pseudo-chariot thing you've got going on does really stretch the bounds of it a little bit. So you're going to have to bear with this, and there's going to be a little bit of fluffing the details, I think. So, Sasha, you're first on initiative order.
Yep.
What do you do? Presumably,
I push Zolf down the third tunnel, and particularly because now he's got his trident crooked out in front. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just running blindly with a stabby thing.
As fast as you
light.
Can.
Got the light in front.
Yeah, we've got light in front of us. What we don't have any idea is what's behind us.
Yeah, if anyone wants to make GIF art of us, with a dwarf. On a hovering disc.
It's just a black square that doesn't refresh, and it's because they just picked a different angle.
Yeah.
Hamid.
I'm running along beside them.
Okay.
Trying Zolf. Desperately not to worry about what's behind us.
Zolf, you are currently moving on Sasha's action. Are you doing anything extra apart from just keeping the light lit and
counting?
Okay.
About 3 minutes. If I let this fall. Then I have to get back on it again. So my plan is to cast a floating disc underneath it.
So.
Just have a bump.
So. So you're charging.
I'm the cutlery and it's the tablecloth.
You're charging down. With the light on, you see that it was a miracle that you didn't trip on the way. There's loose bits of stone and kind of thing on the floor. You got lucky just making it the whole sprint in the dark.
Yeah.
You got lucky not tripping over a flagstone. Again, with the light, it's fairly easy. It's not like the whole thing's a chasm. Mm. But 3 minutes passed, and you run into a dead end. It's caved in. It's just blocked off.
All right, guys. What magics do you have that might be good for a tentacle monster that is so large that it spans two tunnels? It seems to have, I haven't seen anything.
You haven't seen a single part of this creature. Neither of you have. The only one that's seen anything is... Zolf.
Right. Here's how it's working. I have another 15 minutes of this. After that, I can't move. Right. At that point, you leave me and you go.
We can't leave you here, Zolf.
Okay. At that point, we both die. Right. We're going down the first tunnel. So we go back at this speed. We go down the first tunnel. Get on with it.
As you say that, in the very distance edge of your vision, from above, that eye comes... has a look, and then pulls away again.
We need to go now. Just go. Go.
All right. So I push Zolf back and go up the unknown tunnel.
Because you are still at the cave-in from the corridor that you picked first time, you are going to be charging directly towards where you just saw the creature.
Yep.
Okay.
We're going to be shining a light at it.
No, it's fine. As you charge towards it, Zolf, you see there was a small crack in the ceiling where it poked a eye hole through. It powers on. You glance over your shoulder. There's nothing there. Eventually, charging.
Yep.
The same amount of time passes. You find yourself back in that crossroads.
Yep.
And presumably go dead
straight
on to the
forward.
Other side.
Yep. Charging a lot. No. I'm charging. I'm pushing a disc.
Sure.
I've got like a... Yep.
So you are all now getting really tired. You've been sprinting back and forth,
Yeah. Well, in a sense.
Sasha,
you've been winding.
Old no
Sasha, Hamid, and Zolf charging ahead. Suddenly, coming into view at the extreme end of the light, you see one of those weird sort of chicken legs at a contorted angle, slightly furred and matted hide, and two tentacles which have sharp barbs at the end of them. Whipping back and forth right at the edge of the light.
So down tunnel. That way.
Down the way that you're going.
I stop pushing and I throw a bomb over your head right at it.
I cast sleep.
Okay, give me an attack roll first.
17 plus 5, so 22, and it does 2d6 plus splash. This is my last bomb.
It hits square.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Still got the fire flask.
Yeah, I've still got those. Ooh, 4 and 5, so 9.
Okay.
Plus 2 splash damage.
Hamid?
I cast sleep.
Okay.
I successfully cast sleep. If it's got 4 hit dice or less, it has to make a will save.
Okay.
The DC is 15.
It does not stop moving. It does give a roar when the bomb hits and then disappear down the side tunnel.
Go, go, go.
Yep.
Okay.
Running, although I said running, walking fast.
Yeah, yeah, it's fast.
Okay, charging ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You pass the tunnel, obviously, that the thing disappeared down. It's small. It looks like, for such a large creature, it's probably contorted itself in some weird ways to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
Made of tentacles.
And
I
you
throw a firebomb in there as we pass.
On
it.
The pass?
Yep.
Give me an attack roll not to bodge it.
Six
on the roll, but you get plus 5, so it's an 11.
Okay, so with an 11, yeah, you throw it down. As we spurt of flame, there's no scream of anger or anything. Continuing for another about 5 minutes.
You cast a couple of times, I guess.
You find yourselves at the opening to a large cavern again. This time, as you've been running, that kind of rough, rudimentary working is gone. You are entering an actually natural cave formation at this point. It's unworked stone. The ground gets very bumpy and wobbly and starts taking some weird angles, gets jagged to the point where you can't really keep sprinting in this way because it's just such jagged angles. You know, suddenly you're having to duck quite low, another time you're having to almost push him up over. Finally, you make it through to this natural cave formation. There is a worked stone bridge across a large, extremely long, maybe 40 foot, what looks like a natural ravine, almost. The workstone is rudimentary in the ways that were before. Clearly someone tried to cross this a very long time ago, and that's what left. It looks in very bad condition. The ravine disappears off. You hear the sound of running water at the very, very bottom of it. And it's clear that whilst the walls of this cavern mean that you're only exposed to maybe sort of a 50 foot length-wise, as it were, it's clear that it continues underneath the walls in further directions.
Are we gonna cross?
I'll go back.
We shouldn't all go on at once. I'll take a piece of rope across the other side and I'll pull.
We need to get on with this. I've got about 10 minutes of being able to move.
I go. I'm gonna cross first.
Okay.
Because I'm the lightest. I'm very light.
I'm gonna tie a knot around under your arm and hold the other end of the rope.
Yeah, okay. I've grabbed a piece of rope and just
so heading
quickly.
Across. Are you going quickly or are you going slowly?
I'm going fast, but okay. I've grabbed one end of the rope and just
as you go across,
circled myself.
Bits of it fall off. You hit.
I
see them
start to slow down,
dropping away.
To be more careful.
You nonetheless can make it to the far side with the rope. There's one brief period where a good 5 foot square of stone just drops. And you have the really, really disturbing thing where it falls, and it's falling for so long that you barely hear the splash. You just have a and then silence as it falls. But you make it to the far side.
I jump on the disc with Zolf and pull along.
Yeah, and pull the.
So
pull
that
the
our weight isn't directly on the.
The weight isn't actually on it at all.
Yep.
Because it's floating. It can float 3 feet above solid ground. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Zolf, give me a perception check.
No. 6.
You see that you're in a cavern.
What is your AC?
It is 16 because I don't have my shield out.
Okay. Sasha.
Yep.
Give me a perception check.
23.
Okay. The second that you are pulled out over the bridge, there is a flash of colour, a deep, deep purple. And what looks to be one of those barbed tentacles snaps out from beneath the bridge, so it was backed up against the cliff wall, sneaks out. There was no way Hamid could have seen it, and it was only the only reason you're seeing anything at all is the light between Zolf's legs briefly catches a colour. It wraps itself around Zolf's bad leg
and
sinks in, The barb jabs straight in.
Anyone seen 127 hours?
Yeah. Two peg legs.
Well, I've already got one useless leg. Because I might, you know, die of poison.
It sinks the barb in. Yanks you. Give me what your combat maneuver defense is.
CMD is 13.
Okay. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. What's your AC, Sasha?
17.
Okay.
I need all my limbs. I need them to climb.
Okay.
Are you determined to murder us,
this
Alex?
This is an audio podcast, so people can't see the faces I'm pulling.
Gleeful.
Would you these like us to describe it with our faces?
And what's your combat maneuver defense?
It is 14.
Okay. These things happen simultaneously. Oh. So, Zolf. It snaps out. Jabs its barb into your good leg. Yanks.
Can't hold on.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a good leg, so...
Yeah.
Nah, doesn't grab anything.
Do I get, like, a...
Yeah, what does it miss?
You get a reflex save. Yeah. 11. Yanks you clear of the disc. Flings you out into the ravine. You plummet.
Okay.
Simultaneously, Sasha... Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the important thing. You also take 8 damage.
Yeah, that's really not the important.
Oh, sorry,
bit.
Sorry.
Being flung into a room.
Am I underselling this? It's going to get worse, Sasha.
Yeah.
Without realizing it, because the light wasn't shining there, ran your left leg from the other side of the bridge, jabs its barb in. You also, I did roll these, take 8 damage. Give me a reflex save.
23.
Yep. It yanks you.
Why do you have to roll to dodge
Let
this
me finish
tentacle?
My sentences.
Is it a tentacles? Tentacles.
Let me finish my sentences or I'll just kill you.
Oh.
That's how GMing works.
Yeah.
It yanks you.
Yep.
You writhe violently. It loses its grip on you.
Yay.
But pulls you till you are hanging over the bridge.
Is this an acrobatics check?
As?
Well, I mean, if I get to react to, like, falling... I would like to try and basically just throw my trident at where it is.
Give me. Cool. I've got you covered. You've got to let me GM, and I'll finish this.
No, we don't want to because you're me.
As Zolf plummets,
yep.
The torchlight sweeps across the cliff face,
yep.
And for one horrifying moment,
yep.
It is outlined in front of you. You are about a foot away from it. It is... the most hideous amalgamation of limbs. There are tentacles with eyes. There are legs on the end of tentacles. There are barbs everywhere. There's no part of its misshapen torso that doesn't have a limb coming out of it, apart from a circular mouth. And that mouth has teeth within teeth within teeth.
Ooh.
And it has a long snaking tongue that is... basically powering out towards you. It gives that roar again.
So that mouth is a foot away from me.
Yes, bear with me. Zolf, take your reaction.
I'll chuck my trident because I can't do anything else. That's just dex bait, isn't it?
Yep.
Four.
Glances off the cliff.
It's like you don't like the trident.
It's my last resort.
Yeah, fair.
Sasha, what do you do?
I throw my last... fire blast.
Give me an attack roll.
Into its mouth. 6 plus 5, so 11. It's
11?
A foot away, right?
You throw it. What you thought was part of its bodily mass just rises away. It shatters onto the cliff. It does seem to pull away from where the flame is upon the cliff. And then it lunges towards you. Cut to Hamid at the far end of the bridge. You saw Zolf plucked off the bridge. You saw Sasha plucked off. She's hanging on by one arm, having failed to take it off, and you're seeing Zolf plummet. You don't even hear him scream as he disappears.
No!
Wait, no.
Thy fools.
And we'll close the episode there.
I was here all for this one as well, by the way, guys. Just so everyone knows.
You knew. I warned you.
No, it's fine. I've been sat here in silence for 2 whole sessions.
I didn't even know you could be silent. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, it's an acquired skill.
All of the miming was quite distracting.
Yes. I'm going to assume that the light from the fire flask has at least given me enough sense of where it is to start casting magic missiles. Yeah. I don't get to use both hands anymore.
Oh, yeah, I took one of those away.
It's not dual wielding. It's pew, pew, pew from one hand.
No, it's just pew.
Yeah. No, it's still pew, pew. I get to cast two.
Anyway.
Yeah,
so having
we should
put
write
you,
this down.
So having put you in fairly bad position.
Yeah, fairly.
I mean,
plummeting still.
You haven't hit the bottom yet, so you're still alive.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'd love to say that you level up to the point where you can cast Fly on the way down. You don't. But we will wrap up the episode there.
Bye.
Be sure to tune in next week, and we might...
Next week, when we're introducing our characters, it will be Ben playing, well, I don't know.
Well, my sign-off is...
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
That the 10 seconds before each episode where he's counting out, Alex's expression suggests that that's the favourite part of his day.
Just a small amount of silence. Just yes, it really is.
His eyes closed and he just, a little smile.
Imagine all of the worst sounds of an insect or a spider, you know, the clicking. You still got use. Yeah. Still got use. Hamid and Zolf, just for a little bit of a character moment.
No pressure, just role play your asses off.
I just want to say, so it's all a bit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.